Good afternoon. Welcome to the LaRouche Show for Saturday, April 28th, 2007. This is Michelle Steinberg, editor of the EIR Online and Counterintelligence Desk at Executive Intelligence Review, to introduce a very exciting intervention by the LaRouche Political Action Committee out in California at the California State Democratic Party Convention. We'll be getting that to that in a moment. But first, I want to fill in our listeners.
Hello,
is that Quincy O'Neill?
Yes, this is Quincy O'Neill.
Hi, Quincy. This is Michelle Steinberg at the LaRouche Show. We just started the introduction, and we'll be with you. We'll be back to you in a minute, okay?
Excellent. I'll be here.
Okay. Let me start with filling in some breaking news from the past week. First of all, Lyndon LaRouche presented by proxy through Dr. Jonathan Tannenbaum in Moscow this week a paper welcoming a project to link the Asian continent with the North American continent through a 6,000 kilometer long rail power and tunnel project across the Bering Strait. And LaRouche's paper actually celebrated really 130 years of cooperation between Russia and the United States of America, going back to the scientist Mendeleev, who attended the centennial of the American Revolution in 1876. And now, today, the cooperation between Russia and the United States around the production of this great project. Now, it was not only presented at a conference in Moscow on Tuesday, but will become a major topic of discussion introduced by the Putin government to the meeting of the Group of Eight throughout the rest of this year. That was one major development. Another major development is the fact that Representative Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, who was running for president in 2008, introduced a resolution to impeach Dick Cheney. The third major development is LaRouche's challenge to the Democratic Party about the candidates running for the Democratic nomination for president, particularly Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, in a piece that will be coming out in the next Executive Intelligence Review called Ask the Man Who Owns One, Who Owns the Leading Candidates. With that, I'm going to turn this over first to Harley Schlanger, the Western State spokesman for Lyndon LaRouche, who will introduce what's going on in the California State Democratic Convention, what LPAC is doing, and then also Quincy O'Neill, who just won an extremely important election in the State Democratic Party. So, Harley, go ahead.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, it's the introduction that those topics are certainly the dominant topics at this convention. The LaRouche Youth Movement is here in force and has been for the last 5-6 years, and so the events I'm about to tell you about, including Quincy's election, are the result of not some kind of popularity contest or just the fact that we've been around, but that we've been organizing. Lyndon LaRouche's ideas are now a central feature of the debate in the Democratic Party in California. And so while we can talk a little bit about some of the other events, I know Quincy's on the line. This is an extraordinary occasion last night, where Quincy O'Neill, a member of the LaRouche Youth Movement, who's been active with the LIM, I think, about 5 years, he can correct me if I'm wrong, but Quincy was elected vice chairman of the African American Caucus of the California Democratic Party.
Oh, wow.
And it was a virtual landslide election. There was opposition. He spoke, but more importantly, he's been active in the African American Caucus, bringing the perspective and the ideas and the polemics of Lyndon LaRouche. And even some of his supporters at times have said, you know, Quincy, can you tone it down? But Quincy stood firm. He's waged a fight. And so, Quincy, congratulations. And How does it feel to be the vice chair?
Thank you, Harley. Thank you, Michelle. It feels great to be the vice chair. The group that got elected, including my chair, Darren Parker, and the outgoing chair, Theodore Smith III, are both people who are looking to change the discussion of the Democratic Party, who are not satisfied with the fact that we've ignored the legacy of Franklin Roosevelt, and especially are beginning to understand through our intervention how it's a necessary point to re-engage the forgotten man, including those African Americans who are in a worsening situation, you know, by the minute here in California.
Now, Quincy, you're the chairman of the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Club, or the president, right?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you tell our listeners what the FDR Legacy Club is?
Well, the FDR Legacy Club is a chartered club with the Los Angeles Democratic Party. We have been in operation for a year. We just rechartered, and we have monthly meetings. And at those meetings, what we've been doing is presenting the legacy of FDR and its improvement in Linda LaRouche's ideas in economics and statecraft, science, even music. We'll have a featured guest. We always have a political briefing. We bring all of our contacts from our usual outreach from Wednesday night and Saturday night meetings. In the natural place where we've been able to engage several party officials, the secretary of the party, Reginald Byron Jones Sawyer Sr., the chair of the Los Angeles County Central Committee, Eric Bauman, Paul Koretz, who was the assembly member in California who pushed the Cheney impeachment resolution. These people have gotten the guts but are smart enough to understand that the new politics, the 18 to 35-year-olds that are political, is where the direction of the country will go, or has to go if there's any chance of us surviving. And so more and more, people are opening up. They don't always agree, but the substance of Lyndon LaRouche's ideas at this point cannot be denied, and that's showing itself. And I think ultimately that's what won us the election last night.
Harley and Quincy, I'd like to make an announcement here. We are on the line with the LaRouche Show live in San Diego, California, the site of the California State Convention, with Harley Schlanger, the Western State spokesman for Lyndon LaRouche, head of LaRouche PAC, and with Quincy O'Neill, a founder and leader of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and now just elected vice chairman of the African American Caucus of the California State Democratic Party. If you have questions for Harley and Quincy and about the direction of the Democratic Party, please email us. We'll get them right on the air to these wonderful guests at radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub, LaRouchePub.com. So back to you guys.
All right. Now, Quincy's going to have to get back into the convention soon because we just came out of a speech by Hillary Clinton. Obama's going to be there this afternoon. I think 7 of the 8 Democratic presidential candidates are going to be there at this convention. Now, Quincy, there are two things I want to ask you. First, you mentioned the future role, or the now is the future with the youth. It seems to me there are more young people at this convention than in the past. Is that your impression?
That is my impression. There is excitement for once in this presidential race, not only because of the policies of the Bush administration, but by the fact that you have candidates, especially a lot of young people are here for Barack Obama, but also Hillary Clinton and some of the other candidates. So there is genuine excitement. In the middle of that, you also find a lot of disgust. People are disgusted that we aren't moving for impeachment. And so there's a cross-section of people that are just cheerleading for the candidates who are easily won over, if they didn't come here already, with the idea that we have to get out of the Iraq war and that we have to impeach the vice president and the president. And so the bunch could, you know, if organized, and that's what our organizers are here doing, be focused in a direction to where the intervention on the candidates could be significant.
Well, that gets me to the key point, which is that it's clear from being on the floor and talking to delegates and talking to people that everyone agrees the number one issue is ending the Iraq war. And there was a resolution to this effect that was introduced in the L.A. County Democratic Central Committee. It passed there. It was passed on to the Resolutions Committee. And yet last night, the Resolutions Committee said there will not be impeachment on the table. So this is, and in Hillary's speech, what did she say? We've got to end the war, but if it's not done now, it will end when I become the president. Now that's January 2009. And the theme that we have at this event and that we're going to have at the town meeting tonight is 2008 is too late. What's the response you're getting from taking that out to people, that we have to move with LaRouche's idea of impeachment now?
People understand it. They're receptive to it. They have their doubts as to how it'll happen. People are a little formal in that respect. But the sentiment is there. The sentiment that the country has to change direction now is there for everyone. The problem is, and it's what we deal with all the time in our campaign, there's simply not an understanding of the American system of political economy, how it is that we can assert these policies. That is, well-intended people don't know how to do it. And that's, in our discussions with people and some of the campaign advisors, we just simply have to explain to them what the legacies are, like FDR's legacy, what those traditions are, and that they can, you know, authoritatively step forward and push this policy, and that the population is ready and will follow. But I think we just saw Hillary's speech, and it was sort of a flat speech at the beginning. But the one thing she did hit on was the World War II legacy of FDR. She didn't mention FDR, but that is the most, that was the most powerful part of her speech.
Well, Quincy, what she did say is we have to go back to the bold policies, and the example she gave was the Apollo project, the moon mission.
She did say that also. I spoke to one of the co-chairs of Obama's campaign, and I think this is interesting for our listeners because this has been a lot of our intervention into the Democratic Party and against the DLC operators, Felix Rhodes and others. We had put out a campaign to retool the auto sector and the LaRouche's economic recovery for 2004 and 2006 now, and as I was speaking to the Obama co-chair and asked them if there was going to be anything about job creation, because there hadn't been anything on his site when he came out to California, and he said that it was coming and that there were plans to retool the auto sector and so that we could have, so we could export high technology goods. And so for those of us that have been following what Linda LaRouche has been saying, I wonder where he got that from.
That sounds familiar. That's good.
Yeah. So, Quincy, to extend a metaphor from Lynn, and I'd like your comments on this, Lynn has said that the problem you have is that the Democratic candidates, including the two leading candidates, Hillary and Obama, have been avoiding reality. They don't see reality the way reality is. That, and as you were just saying, the economic crisis, they talk about it. But the fact that we're on the verge of a collapse, that we've lost millions of jobs, people can't afford health care. They talk about these things, but it's not that real. And he described it, his metaphor is, it's like people trying to swim on a football field. And just to extend that metaphor a little bit, it seems to me as though some of them are saying, well, we're trying the freestyle and it's not working. Let's flip over and try the backstroke on the football field. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's right. I think that's right, that they're so concerned with winning an election that they're missing the reality that's affecting most of the population. And again, in talking to this campaign organizer, they don't understand how to talk about it. They think they're walking on eggshells. And for both the candidates, if they just looked at the reality that's affecting the population and were to speak to some of those things, not only would they not pay any political penalty, but they would gain the population. However, as in Lyndon LaRouche's paper, if they were to carry through those things, they would go up against the Wall Street financier interests, and that's probably where we're going to have to see the break.
Well, and you're making that clear to people that this is what we're seeing, is that it's still the dirty hand of Rowett in collaboration with Schultz in California that's keeping the Democratic Party from doing what's necessary.
That's on the top of all of our briefings here.
Quincy, Is there a chance in your new capacity in this office that you've just been elected to that you'd be addressing the convention? And if you do address the convention, what are you going to highlight?
I'm not sure in any official capacity. I know I'll get a chance to see people on the floor and perhaps in some, you know, backdoor meetings. I don't think there's kind of a, I don't think there's any, you know, formal recognition of the African American Caucus as a body. But we might raise some things for the floor. For instance, if there is a global warming resolution that gets passed or they're trying to get the body to adopt, then we will raise the question of the economic implications of the Gore hoax. And then otherwise, much of what we've been talking about, the FDR legacy, that tradition and how that has to be revived.
Well, Quincy will be speaking tonight at, there's a LaRouche PAC, LaRouche Youth Movement, FDR Legacy Club town meeting. And that's going to feature, I'll be speaking, and also we'll have our two elected LaRouche Youth Movement members who have now been elected to official party positions will be speaking. And otherwise, there is going to be another Resolutions Committee meeting. The Resolutions Committee last night threw out both the global warming resolution, which was hard fought. I mean, Quincy, why don't you just give a little report on what happened at the L.A. County Central Committee meeting where you brought forward a resolution on global warming?
We brought forward the resolution on global warming, and it was crafted in such a way to highlight the racism of Al Gore, the financier interests behind the speculative bubble, and you know, the science, the hoax that was the scientific-based consensus. And when we introduced it, or when we got to the point where the resolution was being brought to the body for debate, we found that not only did it polarize the Central Committee, but that after the speaker for the resolution spoke, there was no opposition, but someone rose to the microphone and tabled the discussion. The discussion did get tabled. There are about 60 people that voted for the table, but however, there are about 38 that voted not to table it. And that shows, again, our influence in organizing people who wanted to hear the discussion. They wanted to know about the implications of the policy. Once that was done, it was clear to anybody who was serious that to table discussion, to cut off discussion on any issue, made the political process the Democrats were involved in at the Central Committee seem like a charade, because it wasn't serious. There wasn't any honest discussion. And so that has reverberated throughout the Central Committee. And I've had discussions with people about that here at the convention. But we started a fight. We submitted another resolution. It got pulled at the State Resolutions Committee meeting. Mike Steger, one of my colleagues, spoke to it. And we're not sure. Well, it got voted down ultimately. But that's certainly part of the discussion. And, you know, the fight is broken open. We've been handing out the citation on the website for the Great Global Warming Swindle. And the people have been responding.
Also, we're getting out Lyndon LaRouche's webcast on Gore and the hoax of global warming. So this afternoon there'll be a Resolutions Committee hearing, and I think there'll be a showdown there, especially on the question of impeachment. Quincy, I know you got a lot of work to do and that there are people grabbing at you all the time, but congratulations and thanks for coming on with us. Do you have any last words?
Well, I'd just like people to know that the LaRouche Youth Movement in California is committed to taking over the Democratic Party. We're having a lot of fun doing it. And anyone who can join in support of the effort, I think we'll have a lot of fun also. Thank you, Harley, and thank you, Michelle.
Including contributing, right?
Including contributing, especially contributing.
All right, Quincy, thanks a lot. I'll see you a little bit later.
Thank you,
right,
and give them hell.
Okay.
Let me pass along a telephone number for people to call about this town meeting. If you're in the San Diego area and you happen to be hitting the internet, and this is an open town meeting for basically all citizens. Am I right on that?
Yeah, we're organizing delegates to come, and we're having a great deal of interest in it. But also we're asking contacts, supporters of the LaRouche movement, people in San Diego, greater San Diego area, come on down to it. And I hope you have the address, because I'm not sure I do.
I do not, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the toll-free contact number where people can call in and get that information. If the person who answers does not know it, we will find it and get back to you.
Actually, Michelle, I think I do have it. So.
Okay.
Yes,
let me give the number in the meantime.
Go ahead.
This you can call to contribute, I understand, to the LaRouche Political Action Committee, which is sponsor of the LaRouche Youth Movement. And you just heard from Quincy O'Neill, one of the founders of that movement, now the chairman of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Legacy Club of the L.A. Democratic Party and vice chairman of the California Democratic Party's African American Caucus. Call 1-800-929-7566. 1-800-929-7566. Go ahead, Marlo, with the address.
Yes, it's the Hilton San Diego Resort, which is 1775 East Mission Bay Drive. So it's the Hilton. There are three or four Hiltons, so you have to make sure you get to the right one. It's the one at 1775 East Mission Bay Drive, and we'll be in the St. Tropez room.
Okay. Harley, I just heard a hello. I'm wondering if that's Yneel Innocentes.
Yes, it's Yneel Innocentes.
Yneel, okay. Welcome to the LaRouche Show.
Thank you.
Just a couple of months ago, Yneel was with me here in Leesburg, Virginia, working on the war room, the LaRouche Movement's war room, to plan various wonderful interventions to get the truth out. And now I'm pleased to announce that Yneel has also been elected to an important position in one of the caucuses. And Yneel, can you tell us what that election was about and what post you now hold?
Yes, I went into the Filipino-American Democratic Caucus last year, and during the convention, Democratic Convention last year, and I just kept talking to the people that were a part of it. And this time, as soon as I got in, one of the members that was a former treasurer recognized me, and he said, "Oh, do you want to be part of the Filipino Democratic Caucus?" And I said, if it's allowed. And what happened was, I told him, I don't have money, and I can't just join because I don't have money to be a member. What he said was that, "No, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. We need youth in this Filipino American Democratic Caucus. And I know that you're going to be, you know, doing a lot of work because you've been staying in touch with us regarding, you know, economic projects." And I said, "Sure, well, why not?" And then what happened, this same guy that sponsored my membership for the Filipino Democratic Caucus, he put me on the list for a nominee for the corresponding secretary for the Filipino American Democratic Caucus. And I said, well, okay, if it's allowed, sure, that's fine. If I get to speak, that would be really good. So what happened was that I got to talk to a lot of people that are in it. We've had a few people from the, that are also with me. Francisco Medina, Edith Rutledge, Joe Elkins came with me in such a way that they could talk to these Filipinos. And as soon as I told them that they're about to nominate me for secretary, we just started campaigning for myself. And to my surprise, a lot of people actually remembered me, and they were saying, "Ah, yes, her. I remember her. She spoke at last year's convention, and she's really good, and she's going to take up this leadership," and they're really excited about Franklin Roosevelt. One other thing that I was doing was that I was passing out pictures of the maglev train and the Eurasian land bridge, which people got really excited about. There was one woman that I spoke to who was the head of
General Atomics.
Okay. And she was really excited about what my proposal was for creating maglevs and high-speed railways, and she's saying that they're doing that, and she wants this to be discussed within the Democratic Party. So she's going to stay in touch with me. Now, during the election process, I was seated there, and there was another person that I am up against who's been the former treasurer of this Filipino-American Democratic Caucus for like 2 years and been a part of the FADC for several years. And as soon as he read the memo that I was passing out to people, he just said, "All right, there is a youth here that is very sincere into changing the Democratic Party. And if she is as sincere as what she had said on this memo that she wrote, I'm going to give up my position for her. I'm going to give up my nomination in such a way that she could be the corresponding secretary."
So that is your official position at this point. You are the corresponding secretary of the Filipino caucus. Congratulations.
And Michelle, I might add, Wainil wrote a beautiful statement about the importance of FDR's role in ending the colonization of the Philippines, and connecting that to the idea that you have to fight for a future of great projects. And in that, she identified the maglev. And it created a buzz of excitement in the room that was what carried her to victory, which means she's now going to be a member of the executive board of the Philippine-American Democratic Caucus as she carries out the responsibilities of corresponding secretary. And I understand this was reported to people in the Philippines today.
It was. And just before we go to our break, I'd like to report to Wainil and to the Philippine caucus out there and to our whole LaRouche movement a message from the Philippine LaRouche Youth Movement dated today. Now, listeners on the East Coast of the United States, you have to remember that this is only about 12:25 in the morning, or in the early afternoon out in California. So everything that we've been talking about has occurred between last night, Friday night, and Saturday morning. So this is a really fast-moving, exciting, optimistic situation. And I think our Philippine collaborators, colleagues from across the Pacific Ocean really understand this. So, Wainil, this is what they say. "Events which have recently unfolded, particularly in the Eurasian and American continents, are making it all the more clear today, perhaps more than at any other time in history, that call issues forth for societies and nations to return to reason and sanity. This call comes from the generation of people of the 18 to 35 group that still have a future to win and a future to build. It is in this spirit of youthful solidarity and progress that we extend our heartfelt congratulations to our fellow members of the LaRouche Youth Movement, Wainil Inocentes and Quincy O'Neill, for having been elected to their respective positions in the Democratic Party state apparatus. Signed, the Philippine LaRouche Youth Movement, April 28th, 2007. I'll be back in a minute. I have to make a few announcements. You're listening to the LaRouche Show on Saturday, April 28th. And to contact the LaRouche Show with questions for this live broadcast, live from San Diego, California, you can write an email to radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub.com. And to get in touch by telephone, there's a toll-free number. Call 1-800-929-7566. And if you call that number, you can request a free copy of one of the LaRouche Pack pamphlets on either the end of the Truman era that speaks, among other things, about these fantastic projects of the building of the maglev, or a copy of LaRouche's recent webcast on the Gore global warming hoax. I also want to announce at this time that on May 1st, 2007, this coming Tuesday, Lyndon LaRouche will be addressing an audience in Washington, D.C., which will be webcast internationally. That will occur at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It will include participation from probably all of the continents of the planet except for Antarctica, and that will be broadcast on the LaRouche Pack website, www.larouchepack.com, and it will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, hit the LaRouche Pack website for more information about the webcast, and also to participate in a new development, it's only 3 weeks old, that the LaRouche Pack website aims to be the information center for the humanist political movement, the movement of the legacy of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the protection of the general welfare, 4 to 5 times a day. And this may soon increase to pretty much every 2 hours. I say I'm involved in the intelligence process on this. You will be getting a news update from somewhere in the world on economics, politics, human rights, and the impeachment of Dick Cheney on the LaRouche Pack website. That's www.larouchepack.com. Okay, I'd like to go back to Harley and Juanil Innocentes in San Diego. So, Harley, go ahead. Tell us more.
I'd like to ask a question or two of Juanil. I know from the discussions we've had that one of the things that caused people to look at you as a possible candidate was that you were raising questions about the problems that Philippine Americans have with their children, that many of them are being assimilated into this dead-end culture, the no-future culture, and that when you spoke of such things as the great Filipino patriot Rizal and the connection of the Philippines with the American system, that this gave them hope for the future. Why don't you say a couple things about that?
Well, one of the things that I have been emphasizing every time I speak or talk or get a chance to talk to any of these people was that the problem not only of the the problem with the Filipino-American caucus is that they see themselves as very limited to what they could actually do. So to raise questions such as economic development, furtherance of infrastructural development, having jobs for people, and education of the young people, and having these young people stand up as leaders, that gave them a sense of hope of what our future would look like. But first of all, one of the things that I stated in the memo that I've written for them, I posed the question, what will my future look like? And people like that because they did not really know, or they don't have any clue of what kind of policies that they're going to be passing forward. They do not have a clue of how they're going to make their communities better, or not just community, but California. So, what they saw in me being a young person was that I'm going to be continuing the mission that which Franklin Roosevelt and Douglas MacArthur did for the Philippines, since nobody has actually stood up in raising this the leadership that Franklin Roosevelt did for the Philippines. And they were inspired by that leadership that I had posed.
Now, Wyneal, is it your sense that besides the Filipino caucus, we were talking to Quincy earlier,
mm-hmm.
that there is a desire at the convention as a whole for some kind of action, and yet people are so far giving in to the line from the top, which is, well, we can't have impeachment. Do you think that could break out today, that we might be able to break through that?
Yes. What I have been telling them during the discussion right after the caucuses, I've been telling people, look, we need to change our relationship with each other. We need to talk more often, and you need to take my youth's vigor. Because the Democratic Party is going to lose if they're not going to fight for anything. If they're just going to bow down for Bush and Cheney or even Schwarzenegger, that has to change. And they're going to have to listen to me if they want things to change. And when I've been telling people this, they thought that at first they thought I was just like this cute little Asian girl that was just walking around in that caucus, but they felt a sense of authority while I'm talking to them, because I'm telling them, this is what we're going to have to do. As Lynn has been saying for many years now, that, you know, the youth, the age range of 18 to 30 years old or 35 years old are the leadership, and they're going to have to tell these boomers in the Democratic Party what to do. And it actually works.
And that's what you did yesterday?
Yes.
All right. Okay, Wyneal, what else? I know that every presidential candidate's coming to speak, and every single one of them except Kucinich has refused to speak out on impeachment. So I expect you'll be joining the other LIM members to insist that the impeachment question be put on the floor of the convention.
Yeah. The youth is actually invited to speak at Kucinich's event at 5 o'clock over here. And we're going to be, like, from now till then, we're going to be talking to the people that, you know, that are still here. And we're still going to be pushing forward for this impeachment of Cheney, as well as Bush. So, yes. Oh, by the way, I spoke to Eric Garcetti yesterday, and Bob Filner, and as soon as I introduced myself, they were saying, oh, who do you work for? I told them, oh, I work for the LaRouche Youth Movement and the magazine EIR, and they're like, oh, that magazine, yes, I see, and you're the secretary of this caucus? And then I told them, yes, I am. So they said, all right, well, I guess you're just going to have to send me a lot of stuff from EIR till the next few years. So I said, yeah, I will. And you're going to have to listen to me.
Garcetti is the president of the Los Angeles City Council, and he represents the district, which includes the historic Filipino town.
Yes.
Filner is the congressman from San Diego, and Filner is moving towards supporting impeachment, he said today. He thinks that he can't let it wait.
Excellent. We have here a question, maybe before Wyneal returns to her organizing responsibility, both of you can comment on it. Obviously, what Dennis Kucinich did on the debates this past week, where he was really, really tough on the question of impeachment and doing it now, has struck a chord around the country. We have an email into the show from Doris out in Washington, Washington State, Wenatchee, Washington, and the subject is impeachment. Doris writes, only Kucinich of the candidates pushing for this is startling and not receptive of the civic responsibilities to out the crooks, put them in jail, hopefully. Do you think it would expose the Democratic corruption, the Bush Doctrine supporters, but no one except Kucinich dares risk exposure? And I think Doris is saying she wants to see all Democrats do this, and then adds that she believes that Ron Paul, he's a Republican and actually independent from Texas, independent-minded anyway, is also in favor. Do you know for sure? I don't. Harley, you're in Texas. You might know the answer to the Ron Paul thing. But what does it look like for the other candidates, recognizing that, you know, the people want impeachment as much as they want an end to the Iraq war?
Wayneal, why don't you give your impression?
Well, this idea of impeachment that which Kucinich has been proposing recently, he would not have done that without the Our Youth Movement, without the LaRouche Youth Movement.
Absolutely.
Because for a very long time, we've been telling these people, look, put the impeachment back on the table. Well, why did Pelosi get rid of it? And if you remember, Stephanie from Texas has told Kucinich that, you know, we need to impeach Bush and Dick Cheney. And three or four days before he put out this bill of impeachment, Kucinich was saying, no, we're not going to talk about impeachment. And we can't put the impeachment on the table again. And 4 days afterwards, what did he do? Right? He responded to Our Youth's call to LaRouche that we do need to impeach these guys because it is just disgusting that we have a president that really does not know anything, and you have a vice president that is destroying the nation and other nations. And this is not what the Democratic Party is supposed to represent. So that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I think the fact, Wayneal, that you reported that Kucinich is going to speak at 5 tonight before the Resolutions Committee at 5:30.
Yes.
And we've been insisting, our organizers have gone up to the Kucinich people and say, it's not enough for you to stand there with your signs calling for impeachment. We've got to organize everyone in this convention to overturn the flawed decision of the Resolutions Committee when they decided not to put the impeachment on the table. So we're going to try to rally to get that put back on the table and back before the convention for tomorrow morning for the Resolutions
right.
Committee. So that's good. So, Wayneal, congratulations, and as you heard from Michelle, they're following what you're doing in the Philippines.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and we hope that you and Quincy will be available for our collaborators in the Philippines who have a radio show several times a week to fill them in on this historic development. Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and I'll see you later, Wayneal.
See you later, Harley.
Okay. Now, Michelle, just to take this question further on the impeachment, I had a chance to raise this with Lyndon LaRouche last night because we wanted to get his thoughts on how to approach this. And what we're doing now is we're going to be getting, as Quincy mentioned, we're going to get a couple hundred copies, advanced print copies, of the new paper from Lynn, the Ask the Man Who Owns One, which goes through the epistemological problems that we see with the Democratic candidates by their refusal to take up impeachment. And what Lynn raises in this is that it's partly a question of courage, but it's also a question of the induced bad habits over many years of the boomer generation. And apparently it's filtered down to Barack, who's not technically a boomer. These habits which say go along to get along, that you have to go with the popular opinion, but you can't provide bold leadership. And so you have the irony that whichever Democratic candidate comes forward and offers bold leadership, will probably sweep to victory in 2008. But the unwillingness to challenge the assumptions of the population, that even though the majority in this country agrees the war is insane, it's a disaster, a catastrophe, that most people agree that the economy is going in the wrong direction. They may not know how bad it is, but they agree that it's going in the wrong direction. They're waiting for someone to tell them that that's the case and here's what we're going to do. And so we'll be getting out to key people. There are 2,000 delegates at the convention. We'll be producing initially a run of 200 copies. But we're going to make this the theme of the town meeting tonight, and to demonstrate another key point Lynn has been making, which is that we have a new generation of leadership in the LaRouche Youth Movement, two of whom you heard from just before, who are not going to stand back and play by those old rules. And because of their work on Kepler, on doing original creative work in the sciences and in the music, they've developed the capacity, the leadership capacity, to say to the boomers, if you're not going to lead, step aside. We're here to address reality and to lead a movement to change this country and the world. And I think that's what both scares a lot of people in the Democratic Party, but also impresses them, that these young people, as you just heard, are prepared to take the leadership and move ahead into the future.
Well, Harley, I think our listeners are really paying close attention. We have another email. This comes from Melvin in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is very, very much linked to what you just said. Greetings. Enjoying the program today. And I just want to add, so am I. And again, you're listening to The LaRouche Show. We just heard live from San Diego, California, where two of the leaders of the LaRouche Youth Movement, Quincy O'Neill and Yneil Innocentes, were elected to top positions in two caucuses. Quincy O'Neill is now the vice chairman of the African American Caucus of the California State Democratic Party, one of the biggest Democratic parties in the United States and ever in the history of the United States. And Yneil Innocentes, who is of Philippine family heritage, and she has been elected corresponding secretary and executive board member of the Philippine Caucus of the Democratic Party. So these were the guests we had on the program today. And I encourage people now to get in touch with the LaRouche Political Action Committee. The number is 1-800-929-7566. And I want to repeat what Quincy said, that contributions are welcome. They are needed. This is the future leadership. And they're bringing the optimism, the hope, and the determination. For those who did not hear Yneil, let me repeat. Dennis Kucinich would never have pushed through the resolution to impeach Cheney without the work for the last 2 years, longer even, of the LaRouche Youth Movement. So let me go back to Melvin's question. He said, I have a question related to the increasing responsibility for the development of effective communication to balance the emergence and growing intelligence of individuals, as well as a movement. It is one thing to have an understanding of the historic perspective or our current challenge, but perhaps another thing to have the opportunity, clarity, and dynamic capability to convey this new politics. Remembering, as I do, the great oratory of figures like John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, but also understanding that a distraction of pure sophistry would undermine the morality of the leadership needed to increase our influence in the Democratic Party, how can we best prepare ourselves to influence in a positive way these candidates? Doesn't the gravity of our current strategic outlook evoke increasingly dramatic speech in the Intelligent Patriot? Isn't this a necessary factor? With the opportunities that are open, how can we maximize the remembrance of our role in redefining the role of the Democratic Party as a catalyst for saving humanity itself? A lot of questions there, Harley.
Well, the first thing I would say is that Melvin just gave you a perfect reason why you should listen to Lyndon LaRouche next Tuesday, May 1st at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Because what Lynn has done, and he's done uniquely over the years, but especially since we've had the misfortune of the Bush-Cheney administration, is to give people the clarity of ideas, both as to the nature of the immediate crisis, but also what it's going to take to solve it. And increasingly that has been to build a new movement, and a new movement based on developing youth. And so that's what the LaRouche Youth Movement has been. Now, interestingly, you don't become good at oratory by studying oratory. You can read the great speeches, and it's actually inspirational to read the great speeches of FDR and Lincoln and individuals like that. But you actually have to discover your own creative being. And this is what Lynn has always insisted on. And you heard it in the confidence in Quincy and Wyneal, that they're working every day through some of the great works in history and in science, the New Astronomy of Johannes Kepler, and then The Harmonies of the World by Kepler, where Kepler takes you through his thought process. And similarly, the work on the Jesu meine Freude by Bach, where you're not content just to sing the notes, because that's not conveying an idea. Bach wrote the piece in such a way that you could understand, at least begin to understand, the compositional process as the relationship between the voices. And so this is what Lynn is emphasizing, and we have in every one of the youth choruses, the youth locals, which Lynn calls choruses, the day-to-day work on developing the singing voice, but not as an individual voice, but understanding it in a choral context. And if you don't do that, what you find with this generation is, as we see with the boomers, it's asocial. It's me, me, me. There's a difficulty of communicating ideas to people who are mostly interested in escaping ideas and reality. So it's from the more powerful source of these higher ideas, the greatest ideas in history, making them your own. And so by doing that, and not at some ivy-covered institution, but on the streets, taking it out into the African-American caucus, the Hispanic caucus, into the downtown areas of the major cities of the country, and into the suburban areas, and onto the campuses. So you have a battleground, a testing ground every single day of these ideas. That's what's developing this leadership capability. And as one who's been involved with it from the very beginning, I'm quite proud to see the way these youth have developed, and somewhat humbled by the process, because I can see what Lynn had in mind when he initiated this, that we are developing a new leadership. So I would say that you start with Lynn's works and the paper, this new paper, the baby doomer paper of the last EIR. Lynn has been pouring out an immense product of ideas. Work on that and take it out and discuss it. And don't think that ideas are, that there are such things as ideas that are too big. It's only by getting people to wrap their minds around the big ideas that you qualify them to be citizens. That's what Benjamin Franklin knew. That's the basis of our nation. And so in that sense, we're recreating a leadership on the lines of the founding fathers to ensure that we can refound in this country the commitment to this Republican institution and the Constitution of this country so that we can actually have a future. Otherwise, he's right, sophistry will destroy the country just as it did classical Athens.
Harley, this question of great ideas is something that's very much in the forefront of the LaRouche PAC work, the EIR articles, and also the work of our latest group at the LaRouche Youth Movement War Room, the battle for culture and profound ideas. This has come to the fore again with the events in the week of April 13th, 14th in Virginia Tech, where another video game fanatic with mental problems, exacerbated in the view of many experts, by the problems were exacerbated by these violent killing machines such as the game Counter-Strike, Doom, and others. This culture of violence, this culture of pessimism and death versus what the youth involved in the youth movement of the Lyndon LaRouche movement are involved in, it's really come to the fore. So how do you think would be the best thing from your extensive work with the young people between 18 and 30 years old? How can we better address this? I think we're in a good position to actually close down this sick culture because we have young people who are involved in fighting for the campuses.
Right. Well, I think first people should look at the statement Lyndon LaRouche issued yesterday to Microsoft's Gates, Bill Gates, where he basically said it's time to cut it out. We've got to stop this once and for all. And that's on the LaRouche PAC website. That's something that people should circulate. Print it off the website and get it out. Now, Lynn never stops just with the negative. He always goes to the positive. And what I was discussing earlier, what you'll find with young people is that there's the frustration, what many people interpret as apathy or disinterest, evaporates when there's a real project of a great idea put in front of them. But I mean a great idea. I don't mean let's go to the beach or, gee, why don't you listen to a record? But I mean actually getting into the challenge of what it means to be human. And that despite Al Gore and people of his type, Julian Huxley's and others, who basically say that if you're not an oligarch, you're not human. And in fact, I don't even think they think the oligarchs are human. They just think they're greater apes. By challenging people to discover the uniqueness of human beings and to recognize that you're not just a collection of experiences and sense perceptions, or as Lynn says in this new paper, sense deceptions, but that you actually are creative in the image of the Creator. When young people have a sense of that, and they don't get it just by telling them that, you have to issue the kind of challenge that gets them to recognize the difference, the irony, between what they think of themselves and what they could be. And I think that's why the only way to do it in this society is with the ideas of Lynn, from the website, from the various web addresses he's given, and then also just the encounter with real science. Look at the stars. Go out and look at the heavens tonight and notice the angular motion of the stars and try and figure out what that means about the order of our physical universe. So that's the challenge that Lynn has thrown out, and it's delightful to see the numbers of young people who have taken that as a mission to develop their minds so they can create a future generation which will not be fooled ever again by the likes of a Bush, a Cheney, a Schultz, a Rowetton, or an Al Gore.
Let me take right from there to the other historic event which occurred this week. And that was a meeting in Moscow on April the 24th, Tuesday, in which Lyndon LaRouche's paper called The World's Political Map Changes, Mendeleev Would Have Agreed. And this article was delivered at a Moscow-Russia conference on a transcontinental Eurasia-America transport link via the Bering Strait. Now, those of you who haven't looked at a map lately, the Bering Strait is the distance, the waterway between the most eastern tip of Russia and the most western part of Alaska. And all that is needed is about 100 miles of tunnels, which is actually shorter because there's two islands, 50 miles there's islands that break it up into two 50-mile segments to unite these two continents. And this time, LaRouche's paper, this vision, was presented, and it's being adopted as an official government policy of Russia. And while Lynn was not at the conference in person, the former governor of Alaska, Governor Hickel, was there in person, and this was discussed. This is a way of the future, and I hope that this is something else that you can take up at the convention, this optimism, and that we can have the next show about this. Harley, we've got 10 seconds left, just enough time to say goodbye, and thank you, and give him hell at this town meeting tonight.
You know he will.
Okay. Thanks again.